The primary race continues for congressional district seat number one, and I've got one of the two surviving candidates, Tim Harris, on a community connection. Tim, I know the campaign is going well for you, but you still need to get your message out.
Well, Charlie, thank you. I am humbled by the support we got to win the primary, getting 27% of the vote to the next closest competitor at 23 was very heartening. But our job is not over. Who I am, I'm trusted, I'm known, I'm stable, I've been accountable to the people as district attorney. When I come to this, I come to it with passion for people and as a public servant, not a politician. And so, you know, with all that being said, you know, it's like I still have to allow people to differentiate myself from my opponent. And I think the kind of skill set that I bring to the table, you know, leadership skills are what I call servanthood. You know, you lead with a servant's heart, and when you show people that are supposedly following you that you're going to work as hard as they're working, then it sends the right kind of message, and that's what I try to do in the DA's office. You know, also one of the greater skills that I learned over my 16 years as an elected and actually 12 years before that as an assistant district attorney was how to listen. I had to listen to victims and witnesses. I had to listen to law enforcement. I had to listen to criminal defense lawyers and respond, not react, but respond. And so I think those are great skills that I have. But even more than that, I learned how to negotiate. I mean, out of all the, I mean, Charlie, I thought about this the other day. Under my tenure as DA, I filed over 150,000 criminal cases. And so not all those are going to go to trial. And yet you have to obtain justice for victims and for the community, and even justice for criminal defendants, because a prosecutor has a special ethical duty to make sure everybody gets a fair shake. But negotiation, you know, how do I achieve truth and justice without giving the farm away? I think that's the greatest skill that I learned, and I will take to Washington. To all this vitriol that's going on right now isn't moving the ball down the court. And so, you know, I will take that that skill, and I will apply it to good policy, good law for the people of the first district. I'm not going to Washington to be something. I'm going there to do something. I had a great career. I don't need a job. I'm going there because I have a heartfelt concern for America, for Oklahoma, for our freedoms, for our liberties, and I want to fight for the America that I know and love so that our kids and grandkids and even the posterity that comes behind us actually has a chance to live the American dream. And we all know we have a lot of challenges right now against not only Oklahomans here in the first district, but all Americans, and I will go there and give 110%. I'm very fortunate. Both my children are married and out of the house, so I'm an empty nester. I can give all of my energy into this job, working in behalf of the people of the first district, being in supportive position of what people need to live the American dream. And that's the drive, Charlie, that'll take me to Washington. And I'm not going there to feather my nest and just continue to get reelected. I'm a citizen legislator. That's what the framers of the Constitution said it should be. You leave your profession for a finite period of time, and then you'll leave, and I will do that. Hopefully, I can serve the people and establish my credibility and my reasonableness with both sides of the aisle in Washington, but at the end of the day, actually get something done. Because as district attorney, I just couldn't talk about issues. I had to deliver. I had to deliver an answer, and that's what I will do if the people hopefully elect me as their servant in Washington as the next congressman from the 1st District of Oklahoma. And I take my service of Washington County and Wagner County and the sliver of Rogers and the sliver of Creek very, very poignantly. Yes, I'm from Tulsa County. Yes, I serve Tulsa County as district attorney, but I love these people up in Washington County and Wagner County, and they will always have a place at the table so that I can listen to them and do what I have to do to make their American dream a reality.
Well, you've certainly been to a number of forums all across the district and answering questions from the press, from business people, from the voters overall. I believe you've talked about plans to continue to connect with voters, whether it's town hall forums, whether it's telephone town halls, emails, a number of ways just to continue to be connected and grounded to your district.
You know, I'm going to take a cue from Senator James Lankford. I think he has a really good model. He meets in more places, but smaller venues where people can really sit down and hear his heart and hear him talk about what's going on there. I really think that that is a model that I will try and emulate. But people say, well, gosh, we're sorry to see you leave the district and move to Washington. No, I'm not going to move to Washington. I mean, my wife has a medical practice in Tulsa, and she's going to keep at her medical practice. I will do a lot of travel back and forth. Yeah, I will be there. I will try and, you know, be there for every vote and every debate. And I can't wait to get hopefully on the Judiciary Committee and maybe someday even on the Ways and Means Committee. But to be there as a servant, but be back home enough to be accessible to the people that sent me there, to listen to their heart, to listen to their concern, for me to tell them what the landscape is there and what I'm fighting for, so that they know they've got a champion in their corner fighting for the things that they hold dear, and that's the American dream.
What issues resonated with your support in the primary? What type of person or what type of voter really resonated with you in the primary?
The question I got more than any others is, do you support the president? Right, which I do. And so his policies are very, very sound. They focus in on national security by creating a safe southern border. He wants a wall. We've seen a wall work in El Paso, between El Paso and Juarez. I think the crime rate in El Paso dropped 25% after they built the wall. It shows that it has a very tangible effect. You know, whether we need a wall completely, I mean, a wall in places where we need it, fencing, increased border patrol, drones, satellite security. I mean, for crying out loud, we can see a gnat on a fence pole from the sky, right? I mean, we need to use technology to our advantage to make sure that people are coming in this country and they're doing it legally. I mean, Congress cannot get the hot potato that they have, and they haven't wanted to deal with it for way too many years, immigration. I mean, immigration and national security are two things that are enumerated in the Constitution. When I taught constitutional law at Oral Roberts University to pre-law students, what I really learned and got to core down into is our Constitution gives enumerated, spells out responsibilities to the federal government, and what's not listed in the Constitution is retained by the people in the states. So I'm probably a very big supporter of the 10th Amendment. We have got too much federal control of our lives. We need less federal control, and we need more local control, more control at the state level, because if it isn't enumerated, then the federal government shouldn't have their fingers in that pie. Then it should be figured out locally, and that's what I will be supportive of. Let's retract some of this overreach, this federal overreach, especially in business and in regulation, and get that back to the states. Another thing is the fourth arm of government that we've created, all the federal agencies. Yes, I think the thought of having experts talk to Congress about all these complex issues, but what they've done is they've abdicated their rulemaking to the federal agencies, and so instead of getting the greatest and most up-to-date scientific information from these federal agencies that have the expertise, they're supposed to be feeding that back to Congress, and Congress is supposed to be making the policy and the laws, not the federal agencies. So I will be working really hard to roll back some of those federal regulations that are stifling our economy. I'm a free enterprise guy. I'm a free market. I think the free market can get it right more times than government can. And so if we can roll that back and let business grow with their entrepreneurial spirit, with their creativity, And you know what? Congress doesn't create jobs. We create an atmosphere in which the free market creates jobs. And so that's what I think the job of Congress is. And so hopefully we can keep this economic boom going forward, and then all boats rise, and people can benefit from capitalism. I mean, capitalism gets a bad name across the globe, but everybody wants to be like America. How did we get here? We didn't get here through socialism. We got here through capitalism. And so, you know, Margaret Thatcher, I just loved her comment. She said, socialism works until the other guy's money runs out. And so, you know, that is so, so important for us to remember that the government doesn't have all the answers. And as soon as we think they do and we grow them bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, we see that they get less and less efficient. So let's not give them all that power. They don't need it. It's not constitutional. Let's keep that power at home in the states where we have a better finger on the pulse of what we need for the needs of Oklahomans and the people that live in the first district. That's the kind of attitude that I'll be taking to Washington on behalf of the people that I serve.
Well, voters have roughly a month to make up their mind for the runoff election in August, and you continue to update your website.
Yes, we continue to update it, and we will continue to do so. We have a debate this Friday at the Doubletree at 61st in Yale, in Tulsa. Mike Macy is putting it on in his organization, Oklahoma Opportunity. And so my opponent and I will be able to discuss the issues. It's from 3 to 4:30. Also up here in Washington County in late August. I tried to get it earlier, but I think August 22nd, the Washington County Republican Party is having a forum in which we will be able to debate the issues. I invite people to come out. You can call me at 918-850-0026. Someone is manning the campaign phone constantly and tell me what your concerns are, what your questions are. At info@votetimharris.com is an email. We respond to every email within 48 hours. And certainly votetimharris.com, my website, go there. You can donate there. You can ask questions there. We will get back to you. We are doing our dead level best to respond to every communication that we get about what makes me tick and what I'm going to do for the people that are asking the questions.
Tim, thank you so much for your time. I know it's a busy schedule. You are going as many places, talking to as many people as possible, whether it's Rotary meetings or other community groups, and spending some time on the radio. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you for having me, and I'm honored to be up here in Bartlesville today, going to the Rotary to meet all the fine people that live here.
Tim Harris on AM 1400, 93.3 FM K1.